You know, Tom, we get through with children's church and the singing. I feel like I've already been to church. There's not a whole lot left that I can preach about because, I mean, that children's moment this morning was just awesome. That was fantastic. An elderly lady had just returned to her home from a worship service. And as she entered her house, she caught an intruder trying to steal all of her stuff. And she was startled and she yelled out, "Stop! Acts 2:38. And the man just froze in his tracks. So the woman calmly picked up the phone and she called the police, told them what was happening. And when the police arrived, they asked the lady, "Well, are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." And the policeman, as he was cuffing the intruder, asked him, says, "Well, why did you stand there like a nut?" Said, "All she did was quote scripture." The intruder says, "Quote scripture? You're kidding me. She told me she had an axe in 2:38. This woman was armed with the word of the Lord. And with God on her side, she may as well have had an axe and 2:38. But we're talking today about a little boy that was also armed with the word of the Lord and with a slingshot. And through this drama that we witnessed this morning, that slingshot and the word of the Lord was powerful. Powerful weapon. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, as we have already read, we had the Israelite army that was led by King Saul. They were on one side of the Valley of Elah, and here's Goliath and his bad apples over here on the other side of the valley. We see a little boy named David that kept sheep for his father Jesse. And he had a bunch of other brothers. Three of the brothers had been sent to fight in Saul's army. And every day, Jesse, his father, would call David into the house and tell him, "Okay, now I want you to take this bread and cheese out to the army and give it to your brothers, and it'll help feed the men out there." This particular day in our study today, David goes out there, and there was a standoff. These armies were facing each other face to face. And we have Goliath, this humongous man out there pacing back and forth, challenging children of Israel. "I'll fight anybody you send to me. You just tell them, come on, I'll fight them." Well, I'm sure that the children of Israel's knees were probably knocking so hard that you could feel the ground quiver around them. Mine would have been, because Mike said these people normally were 5'2" tall. I'm 5'2" tall, and here's this 9-foot giant. Yeah, my knees would have been knocking. And when we're faced with problems like this in our life, we have a tendency to forget what our true source of strength is. But David, although he was a little boy, he was not a wimp, because up to this point in time, he had fought lions and bears and just killed them with a club. He didn't even have to use a slingshot for that. So he finally convinced Saul to let him face this giant. when David saw him, this giant was out there strutting around, bragging, y'all come on, I'll fight you. Anybody out there, I'll fight you. David looked around, he says, who is this pagan? Who is this heathen that is defying the name of the Lord God Almighty? Why is he so confident? He's nothing but a dog that needs to be killed, that needs to be removed from where he is. He doesn't need to be out here taunting God's people. Word got to King Saul that David was willing to fight Goliath. Saul says, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. He says, here you are, just a small child, just a boy. And this man has made a living out of being bad. He is mean through and through. David says, I'm not worried about that. The Lord who saved me from the claw of the lion and from the bear will save me from this Philistine. How often have we heard people make the remark that if you don't expect anything, you won't be disappointed when you don't get anything? We've all heard people make that remark. We've probably made it ourselves. Is this a good attitude to have? No. Is it a Christian attitude? No. Every day of our life, we experience situations that appear to be totally impossible to master. All of us have two common responses when we're in a situation that we don't know what to do with. We can either panic and run away, or we can calm down and we can look to Jehovah God for help and for strength in our time of need. What would have happened if Moses had not expected to meet God up on the mountain? Would we have the Ten Commandments today? No. What would have happened if Daniel hadn't expected God's protection in the lion's den? He would have been a snack for those lions. And what would have happened if the three Hebrew children had not expected for God to meet them in that fiery furnace? God was that fourth man in the fiery furnace that King Nebuchadnezzar saw when he raised up and he looked in there. He said, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? He says, lo, I see four down there, and the fourth one is like the Son of God. Amen. So what would have happened if these pioneers in our faith had not maintained the faith and put their faith and their trust in God? So trusting God is what David chose to do in our study today. I want to present five principles that David used to work together with God to overcome the giant Goliath. I thought about this and I said, well, there's five principles. David picked up five stones. So there's a stone for each principle that I want to talk to you about. We've already established the fact that Goliath was a giant, that he was humongous, and he was mean. He lived and loved to frighten and destroy people. And we've looked at David, and we see that he was just a kid that took care of his father's sheep. He was a shepherd boy. But David, as we have discovered, had a secret weapon. It wasn't his slingshot. It was his faith in Almighty God. He was also the only one that was willing to step out on that faith and fight this giant. And Saul finally gave in to him and agreed for him to go and fight. David knew that Goliath was evil and that he bore bad fruit. If you look in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 43 and 44, you will find that evil bears bad fruit, that God bears good fruit. So the fruit that we receive from God is always good. God's blessings in our life is always good. It's always powerful, and it will overcome any obstacle that we may face. So we see David as he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he puts them in his shepherd's bag. He didn't take but one stone to kill Goliath. So let's look at these stones. Stone number 1, David had a different point of view than what all the whole army had. He didn't see this situation from a defeated point of view. He saw it as, I'm going to win this for Almighty God.
Amen.
Saul and his army saw only a giant. They only saw how tall and how big the problem was. They saw the size of his weapons. They saw the sword, how huge it was. But David, that's not what he saw. He saw a dog, according to the scripture, that was ready to be killed, a Philistine that would very soon become a headless carcass laying there in the valley. How often do we as Christians panic in times of crisis? I've done it. If we're all honest with ourselves, we have all had a moment in our life when we began to panic because we just did not know how we were going to solve this problem. We have this thing that is built into us that we need to be in control of the situations in our life. And there's sometimes people that we don't have control, that we don't have that secure feeling that I've got the tiger by the tail. I can do anything. We don't have that security all the time. We have moments in our life when we panic. But no matter what the circumstances are that we face, whether they're great or small, God doesn't expect us to control these things by ourselves. He wants us to work with Him and allow Him to be a part of the solution to our problem. We need to work together with God. So the first step in overcoming the giants in our life is to look at them the same way that David did. David remembered that God was alive. We're not serving a dead God today. God is alive and well. God loved His people. God loved the children of Israel. David had that same love in his heart that God has. If you look in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 18, we're instructed to love one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that was what David was thinking about way back then, before Jesus' time, was that God had instructed His people to love one another. And David loved his brothers. He loved all of the children of Israel, just as God had told him to do. That's what God's telling us to do today, is to love one another. David looked at this Philistine. He was not one of God's chosen people. This Philistine was a pagan. But Saul's army had forgotten. Whenever they saw the size of the problem, they forgot all about that God was the solution to the problem. The enemy had made cowards out of them. Not only did David remember God, but he trusted in God that God would deliver him from the hands of this Philistine. God is alive today in every situation that we may face, and he can deliver us. A wise person once said that we are not living in a world of excuses, but in a world of opportunities and challenges. David didn't see Goliath as a problem. He was only a living challenge which David needed to overcome for the living God. Let's look at stone number 3. David used the training that he had received as a shepherd boy to overcome Goliath. He had been trained every day out in the wilderness protecting the sheep. Scripture tells us that he had killed the lion and the bear with a club. And all of this required an amount of physical strength. He could not have done it with just a stick saying, shoo, shoo, go away. That didn't work. He had to cultivate skills that would enable him to fight Goliath and to fight the lion and the bear. David had met the challenges of the wilderness and had mastered the use of that lethal weapon he had, that sling. Our entire Christian life is a training field. When you face a challenge in life today, remember how that God has delivered you in the past. All of us have experienced the delivering power of God at one time or another in our life. And when we're faced with a challenge today, remember how that God did not forsake us back there, but he was with us and he protected us even back then. Then, like David, you will be able to stand firm in your faith in a time of crisis. Stone number 4, David put his trust in God and in God's power. He told Saul that God had delivered him in the past, that he would do it again. Now let me say this. You may study the Bible. You may memorize scriptures till everything that comes out of your mouth is a scripture. But you will find that unless you put your faith and your trust in God and ask for God's leadership, all of your education will be totally useless. You could be, as my grandma used to say, you could be smart as a whip and it won't do you a bit of good unless you put God in control. Zechariah 4:6 tells us, God said, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. Stone number 5. David did not react in the flesh. When David was facing Goliath in verse 45, he shouted, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, God of the armies of Israel. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Now, buddy, that little feller had some faith. Had I said that, I would have probably been saying it as I was leaving. I like to consider that I have faith. But there are some things that I will not go up against. Because I'm human. And I forget about that my strength comes from Almighty God, from the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm human and I have a tendency to forget that. When I'm faced with a sickness or having to make a decision that I don't know what to do with, I forget about that my God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But David didn't back up. He run right straight to Goliath and told him, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to cut your head off. And he goes on to say, he didn't stop there. He was on a roll. David goes on to say, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It's his battle, it's not ours. The Lord will give you to us. You know what? God wants us to know today that he, the Almighty God, this God of Israel that I'm talking about, he is here at Bethel United Methodist Church, and that we can have a mighty revival here in this church that will shake entire Leon County for the Lord. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. David had strength, but he found total strength, superior strength in the name of the Lord. True enough, Goliath was armed, but David was armed in the name of the Lord God Almighty. How often do we forget the authority in the name of Jesus Christ? I urge you today to exercise the authority that you have found in that name that is far above every name on the face of the earth. When we see things that upset us and cause us a problem, and we really wish that problem would go away because we just don't see that the outcome is going to be what's going to be beneficial to us. We wonder, well, how in the world will my family survive, or how in the world will our church survive during these crises? Nothing that we say can change the problem, but it can make it worse. What we need to do is commit that problem to Jesus Christ. We need to call on the Lord God of Israel. Let him be in control. Let God take care of the situations that we face that we really may not like, and we feel like that this situation just cannot be in the best interest of the work for God. God has a way of moving things out that he doesn't like.
Amen.
And God can take care of any situation that we may face. In verses 48 through 51, we see Goliath moving closer to attack. And we see David as he runs out to meet him. And David tells him a head full as he's beginning to sling that sling and he lets loose that rock. And then he goes over and he takes Goliath's sword and he chops off his head. You may be in crisis today, but let God handle it. God can work through you to solve any situation that you may face. Don't try to tell God how or what to do, because God already has the answer to any situation that we may face. We all have giants in our life. Are you fighting a losing battle today? with your secret giants that maybe you've not expressed it to anybody, but you have something that is just gnawing at you, and you cannot seem to conquer that giant that you have in your life. What may be a giant to me may be nothing to you. What may be a problem to you may seem insignificant to me. But God knows everything that we face, regardless of what it is. David, Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrew children in Egypt, bondage, Job, Peter, Paul, none of them could face their giants alone. We all need help at one time or another. We cannot conquer our giants today without God. Without Jesus, we would be lost. God wants us today to realize that if we have faith in Him, we can conquer all of the giants that we may face. Matthew 17:20 tells us that if you have faith as just a tiny grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be removed, and it will be moved. David was not a perfect man. He made mistakes. I'm not a perfect woman. I make mistakes. We all have our shortcomings. But as Christians, we're also children of the Almighty God. We're children of the same God today that David was when he went up against Goliath. We have the same weapons at our disposal. That grain of mustard seed, that small stone from the brook that he put in his sling, we have that same weapon. We still have the power of the Almighty God. All we have to do today to activate this powerful weapon that we have is to kneel down and pray to our Father in heaven and remember, like it says in John 3:16-21, that we can do all things through God who strengthens us.